National Park System is kicking off their centennial summer celebration. And what better place to go to than the first national park, Yellowstone, where Dan Wink, the superintendent, joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Great to be with you this morning, Bruce and Craig.
Well, tell us, how are things this morning in Yellowstone National Park?
Well, it's just a little after dawn, and it's a beautiful morning. It's clear skies, and the temperatures are not dissimilar to what you're going to have in Cleveland today, and we're expecting a great day for visitors, and we're expecting a great beginning of our celebration.
Does the visitors come and is it ebbs and flows through the season, or do you kind of get a steady flow throughout the 12 months?
Well, we actually have two different seasons. We have our summer season. The park was the last entrance of the park actually opens this morning, which is the south entrance. And our summer season started the third Friday of April. It will build to a peak month, if you will, in July, and then it will start to decrease in visitation. And the park closes for the winter season on November 1st, and then winter season starts December 15th through March 15th.
You close for the winter season. Is that because of the harsh weather?
Actually, we close just long enough for the snow to build up on the roads so we can have over snow travel during the winter. But it is a very harsh season in the winter, so we have snow coaches and snowmobiles that can come into the park from December 15th through March 15th.
Take us back to when Yellowstone was first decided to be a park or preserved, or people trekked to this location in Wyoming.
Well, it was actually Yellowstone was established in 1872. Some of the explorations of the area began in the late 1860s and the early 1870s. It was a movement. People really didn't believe the kind of stories initially that were being told about the geysers and the thermal features that are in Yellowstone. And so it really became an opportunity of exploration, and the park was really established, and first visitors were here, brought here by the railroads across the country. They saw it as an opportunity to expand their businesses into the West.
And you have a hotel there. Tell me about its condition, what it's like, what's the charm of the hotel at Yellowstone?
Actually, the hotel I'm sitting in this morning to do this is the Lake Hotel. It's the oldest hotel in Yellowstone National Park. We're celebrating the 125th anniversary of the hotel. It's gone through in the past 5 years a major renovation to bring it back to its historic significance. It's a colonial revival hotel. It's now on the National Register. It's now a national landmark, which is the highest designation a historic property can have in our country. And it's in beautiful condition. Our concessioner, Zanterra, has put a lot of energy and a lot of money into bringing this hotel back to its original glory.
Dan, for anyone who has not been there, do you have any tips, any recommendations for how to get around, where to stay, things that, you know, people might not think of off the, you know, off their top of the mind?
Well, I think there's different ways that people can visit Yellowstone based on their personal situation. Many people may want to get out into the backcountry. Yellowstone is over 2.25 million acres, and to give you some perspective, that's bigger than the size of Rhode Island and Delaware combined. There's over 1,100 miles of backcountry trail. Most people spend their time in the front country along the roadsides and in developed areas like the Old Faithful area, the canyon area, or lake, or some of the other developed areas in the park. There's hotels, restaurants, campgrounds. We also have a wide variety of tours and opportunities for people to get to learn more from interpretive rangers and our educational personnel. If they want to take classes, we have classes that are based on college curriculums in geology, biology, and wildlife. So people can really experience this park on their own terms, if you will. It is probably the greatest wildlife display in the lower 48. If you want to see a grizzly bear, this is your greatest chance to see one in their natural environment, is probably in Yellowstone National Park in the lower 48. If you want to see herds of bison, that might look like herds of bison looked like in the mid-1800s as people traveled across this country. Yellowstone is a place you can do that. Probably the best place to see wolves anywhere in this country where they're watchable wolves. Right now, for example, there's with spotting scope, there's places you can see female wolves with their pups. Actually, two sisters have both sets of pups within the same den right now. So it's really an extraordinary experience. I would also say, don't think about visiting during a time other than the prime season, which is mid-June through the end of August. Look at the early in the season. Look at the fall seasons, which are really spectacular in Yellowstone.
We're talking this morning with Dan Wink, Superintendent, Yellowstone National Park. The park system is celebrating their centennial with a big summer celebration. What kind of things do you have there going on at the park? And talk about maybe what's happening throughout the United States.
Well, last year, the National Park Service started a campaign which was called Find Your Park Campaign. There's over 411 national parks throughout the country. The national parks in this country not only are the great landscapes of the West, they're also, they tell our history. They tell the stories of inequality and justice. They tell the story of the wars that were fought to establish the country. They really are the cultural icon in many ways of the United States, are embodied in the national parks. One of the celebrations we're having today is we're starting our season with the 125th anniversary celebration of the Lake Hotel. Throughout the summer, we'll have programming that will talk to people not just about Yellowstone, but other opportunities through the country. We are going on August 25th, which is the 100th anniversary date of the National Park Service. We're going to have an evening at the Arch as Yellowstone celebrates the National Park Service centennial, which we hope to draw attention to Yellowstone, but also through Yellowstone, talk about the kind of park movement and the public lands movement that's not only been created within our country, but throughout the world. So I think that we have an opportunity to really sort of re-engage people with their national parks and with their public lands, and the centennial provides that great focus point to do that.
Dan, is Old Faithful still faithful?
It is faithful, but it's probably not as faithful as it was 30 or 40 years ago. And what I mean by that is just not the interval between eruptions has been extending. It's now about once every 90 minutes on average that it erupts during the day, and night. But it's still faithful. It's still predictable. One of the most predictable geysers in the park. Most people don't understand this, but we have over half the world's geysers are in Yellowstone National Park. Yellowstone has over 10,000 thermal features. And the thermal features and the geysers were the reason why Yellowstone was established in 1872.
How's your cell phone reception up there around that area?
Well, I'll tell you, you have to be in a developed area. One of the things we've made a conscious decision is to try to keep Yellowstone as wild as possible. So if you're hiking in the backcountry, you're probably you can use your cell phone to take pictures, but you're not going to use your cell phone in very many places to talk to your friends.
You mentioned the wildlife earlier. You mentioned grizzly bears. Do we want to see a grizzly bear?
Oh, I think it's one of the greatest opportunities you can see to see the dominant predator species in the United States in its natural environment. You know, to see it interacting with other grizzly bears, with other wildlife, the predator-prey relationship. If you follow appropriate protocols in terms of how, you know, to hike with no less than a group of three, to make noise while you're hiking, to carry bear spray, if you see a grizzly bear, you know, to, you know, how to act and to walk out of the area, I think you're very safe. And so I think you want to see a grizzly bear because it's one of the few places that you have the opportunity to do so.
If people want to find out more of what we talked about today or plan their trip to Yellowstone or any national park, where's a good place for them to check something out?
Well, I think the best place is probably to go to nps.gov/yell. The nps.gov site will talk to them about national parks throughout the country. They can find a park in their local area. For example, you have Cuyahoga Valley in the Cleveland area, but there's many other national parks within Ohio and throughout that region, but there's also the well-known parks. So the National Park Service website, and then each of the parks has its own individual website. And also you can find that information through the state of Wyoming or through Xanterra, our Yellowstone Parks and Lodges, which is one of our concessioners here in the park that offers services to visitors.
Sounds great. It's been great talking with you, Dan Wink, Superintendent of Yellowstone National Park. Thanks for your time this morning. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure to be with you. Thank you.